Hi, I'm Mark Renner. This is Victory Over Sin.
The price you paid for my life, God's perfect sacrifice, sufficient for me. The blood of God to atone. My sin you made your own. You have set me free. You alone have risen. You alone have saved us. You alone have rescued us from the grave. Glorious you reign now. All creation cries out. You alone are King.
Good Saturday afternoon to you. My name is Mark Renick. This is Victory Over Sin. And what we do in the first part of the show is to explain to you what we're trying to do and who pays for it. Victory Over Sin is funded by an advocacy arm of St. Vincent de Paul of Southwest Idaho. And what we attempt to do is to educate you, the listener, about what it's like to be incarcerated here in Idaho and to come back out of incarceration and to blend back into community. We would argue that that's hard work, and we support those efforts in many different ways, but one of them is this radio show, which actually has been going for about 6 years now, believe it or not. If you go back to the archives of KBXL and look up Victory Over Sin, you'll see all our old shows. You'll see some state senators. I've got a governor, all the directors of the Department of Corrections here in Idaho. We've had people come directly from prison to the radio studio. We've had one person about to go right back into prison, and he was on the show before he went back in. Basically, though, it is people who help those of us coming out of incarceration blend back into community. We're proud of that body of work, if you will, and you will learn a lot about the Department of Corrections if you go listen to those old podcasts. So we encourage you to do that. Again, like I say, we're proud of that, and we respectfully want you to go back and listen to it. In addition to that, we also do what we call a situation where we will come out to your work, your church group, your community group, and we will present a presentation from somebody who's been incarcerated. He'll give about a 20-minute kind of situation where he shares some concepts, and then he will be there to answer questions as that goes on. The great thing about this is that it is led by a returning citizen themselves. So at the end of the show, I'll let you know how to reach out and get in touch with me if you're interested in any of these things. We'll be happy to support those efforts. If you've been listening to me over a period of time, you know that we've grown tremendously in our impact here in the Treasure Valley. We have two offices now in Boise. We're located at 3217 West Overland Boulevard. The office is open 9 to 12. We try to greet everybody coming out of incarceration every day. So if you're about to be released, come by the office. We'll help you with all sorts of resources, clothing, bus passes, etc. We've got a strong educational program, and we're looking forward to supporting you in that manner. The same goes the shape in Canyon County. We're inside the Office of Probation and Parole there. We actually have an office in their building, so you can go in there and ask for St. Vincent de Paul, and we'll be able to help you there too. If you're walking the track in the system outside there and need a ride, have your case manager send me an email. We'll pick you up and take you through the first couple of days of your return to the community. Again, we're excited about the future. We've got some very good stuff on the drawing board in terms of additional funding for us. We're excited. If you want to check out any of that stuff, you can go to www.svdpid.org and you'll find out all about us. I'm excited about our guest. We've got a new author that we're going to get to talk to in just a second.
Idaho has an incarceration rate of 761 to 100,000 people, including prisons, jails, immigration detention, and juvenile justice facilities, meaning that it locks up a higher percentage of its people than any democracy on earth. Compare that to the United States' 664 people per 100,000, Canada's 104 people per 100,000, and Norway's 54 people per 100,000. What about our parole system? In 2019, Prison Policy Initiative graded each of the 50 states for their parole system. Idaho received a grade of F. How do we change this? We need your involvement, and we need your story. More importantly, you must tell it. Your Christian voice can support the needed change. Reach out to us and get involved. At the end of the show, Mark will share his contact information, or you can call the radio station, KBXL 941 The Voice, and ask for links to Mark Rennick.
Okay, I am super excited to introduce you to a lady that I've recently met, but been watching for a couple of years now. Christy, I'm going to blow your last name, aren't I? Lashover?
What? Lashover, yeah.
Lashover.
You got it.
I knew I'd do that. I apologize. Christy is Christy is an author. She's a speaker. She's a policy advocate and a returning citizen herself. So welcome to the show. I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about you, your background, where you were born, and all that stuff.
Well, let's see. I was born in California, Southern California, lived there for most of my life until I was incarcerated. I have a great family, and, you know, I used to be a wardrobe stylist before I went down a different road. And when I got out of prison, I actually relocated to Oregon where my mom and my sister lived. I didn't want to go there. I thought, oh, I can't go home. I felt like I was still being, you know, punished because I knew it would be better to go to a different state. But it was really an amazing opportunity and of growth and healing and love. And so doing that for 5 years, I had the experience and the confidence and went back to college and graduated with all A's and decided to move. I work now at Operation Restoration, where we seem to do a lot of the same stuff you do, which is so great. We help women and girls impacted by incarceration get into college, lab assistance programs. We have lots of different programs, advocacy work, and like you had said, you know, give them bus passes and anything that they need to reintegrate into society. So
did you,
policy.
I'm not trying to interrupt, but you were in Oregon, and the switch to Louisiana was what caused that, or was it school, or what was that?
It was a job. Operation Restoration was is run by women, and I had originally, when I first got out, called them because I didn't know that there was any reentry resources available, and someone told me about them, and then I talked to them a little bit, and then later on down the road, they offered me a position because I had worked on Ban the Box policy in Oregon, which is banning the criminal history box on college applications. And that went through, and that was led by this organization here, Operation Restoration. So they asked me to come here, and now I'm trying to accommodate the other states for Ban the Box.
We're going to have to get you back in Idaho because we can't quite get that out of committee here in Idaho. So
I'd love to help with that.
We may be calling on you to help you with that because we've been working on it for about four strong years. We're getting closer, but yes, you don't be surprised when I call you to ask you for that support.
I would love that.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. So you're in Louisiana, but you know, I'm fascinated because I didn't do federal time. I always think of, you know, Orange is the New Black as the book kind of federal time. So tell me about the federal, your experience in the federal system.
Well, boy, I had never experienced any sort of incarceration before. In fact, I was married to a police officer, so I only knew that side of it. And I was arrested in Las Vegas and went to five different prisons via Con Air all around the country, from Las Vegas to Rhode Island to Connecticut to Oklahoma and then Texas. So it was really a shock the whole time. I didn't know what was happening. I was surprised by the amount of time everything took. I was surprised by the it was a drug conspiracy case, and to, you know, slap on a 20-year possible sentence. So I was really just surprised by what it was like, and I remember saying to my mom that really that the women's prisons or trauma hospitals.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I felt like.
Mm-hmm. It really, well, and I think a lot of people, I think they're starting to do that, but for several years now, I've been trying to say, especially when we'll pick people up, I'll say, you know, what you've really gone through is trauma. It's like a major car wreck or an attack or something like that. You've experienced trauma, so you need to go through the same kind of procedure in terms of adjusting back in to society that a person has gone through a major trauma would have. So, but
absolutely. And then I really feel like most of the women have already experienced a lot of trauma even prior to coming to prison. So you compound that, and it's extraordinary.
Certainly,
it's something that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, certainly the statistics bear that out in terms of that's the case for women. Yeah, absolutely. How did you come up with the concept of the book, and what caused you to go forward with that?
Well, one of the things that helped me when I was inside was writing. So I would write in the morning, really just to like gather my thoughts to help me kind of connect to myself, to remind me that I'm worth more than just being in a prison cell. And so I would write a lot, and I would let people inside read it, and they would run back to my cell and say, I want the rest, like write more. So they couldn't wait to read more and more and more. So I just kept writing. And originally I wrote a memoir type book, but I couldn't get it traditionally published without having lots of followers and being an influencer. So I decided to write this book, which is parts of my story, but really more of an interactive reading, so that people can answer some questions about their own life after reading parts of my transparent story, so that they can, you know, be a little bit reflective and introspective in their own life and see, you know, and give themselves grace and compassion so that they can heal from the trauma we had just talked about.
All right. Give us the title and how we can purchase the book too. Why don't we do that?
Sure. It's called Perfectly Flawed, Uncovering Your Greatest Purpose, and you can get it on Amazon right now.
And it's going, I can't believe how many people are already purchasing it based upon, I think, just knowing you, but you have your opening tonight, correct? Is that what you...
Yeah, I do. Tonight's a book launch, which is crazy and exciting and scary all at the same time, but yeah, I'm really excited about it. And it's been doing well. I use social media. I didn't have any social media when I got out for about a year and a half because I thought I don't want to open those doors yet. But then what I realized is, based on what you're looking for, different people, and especially advocates that have been incarcerated, really are a huge, tremendous community. And I've just met so many great people and so much support, and that's just kind of snowballed into support for the book as well.
Well, you handle the media very, very well. I'm in awe sometimes of, like, because I get something, is it every other day, it seems like, from you in terms of promotion of what you do. And the media is really good. I know that there are people in my life who say, what are you doing with all this social media stuff? Why do you keep telling people that you're on the radio, you're about to tape a radio show, or then you're taping the radio show, and then you're on the radio show? But I don't know what will happen if it hasn't happened with you all the time, is that people will come up to you and say, I really so like just listening, seeing your social posts and seeing what you do and following what you're doing. That it's a real support for so many people. Are you finding that?
Yes, I am. You know, I when I went back to college, I saw this quote of one of my textbooks, and it was from Austin Kleon, and it said, you know, speak your truth, shout it from the rooftops, and the people that need to hear you will hear you. And so I, for some reason, that really resonated with me. So I just continue to be true to my vulnerability. And as I do that, shame just keeps, you know, chipping off. And then other people come to me and tell me their secrets because I'm vulnerable and speak truth. So it just reminds me to keep going. That's what I do.
Yeah, it just came to me, too. It's like you're kind of like a Brene Brown for those of somebody who's been incarcerated. It's really, you know, that's really powerful. So,
thank you. Yeah, that was one of the first books that I ever read when I was in prison. It was a Brene Brown book. And I said, I don't have any shame. That's crazy. I'm certain I have no shame. And then I read like the first paragraph of one of her books and I started bawling. I'm like, oh, shoot, I have shame. I admire her.
Yeah, it's similar in terms of what you do, is if you're open and honest with who you are, people rally around you and can understand and empathize with your plight and learn from it and grow from it.
Which is the opposite of what your head says. Your head says, be quiet, don't tell anyone, it's no one's business, they're going to judge you.
Well,
so that's where God comes in handy to really rely on him for that.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was headed next. It's like, well, you're talking to me on a Christian radio station, but that's really our role is to be that open, be that honest, and be that example, and be that supportive person for everybody that you're around. It's not always easy, and we're all flawed, but boy, that is the direction that, for me at least, and I'm certain for you probably, brings you the most joy and the most that warm feeling in your heart that you're in the right spot.
And freedom.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Pure freedom.
I don't know how people walk around the world without feeling that in their heart. I know I did it for probably 50 good years of my life, and it was no fun, I'll tell you. So, and once that was lifted, it's just amazingly.
It is.
Yeah. One of the pieces that I loved about your book, it was when you discovered that you were quote unquote perfectly flawed, which is the title of the book. Can you recall how you mentioned that in the book and give me that story if you don't mind?
Yeah, I do, because it was such a profound moment. I was in a drug class called RDAP, which is in the federal system. And I was having a hard time in there because I knew it was good in theory because I wanted to work on myself. But I said something, and one of the counselors said, well, you're a flawed human being. And I kind of got very defensive. I said, no, I'm not. And then when I said the words, I thought, oh, that's weird. Of course you're a flawed human being. But in my heart, in my head, I heard you're bad. And so, of course, I'm going to defend that. But so when those two kind of worlds collided, I thought, that is so weird. Why do I think I'm not flawed? And so that kind of started the process of being comfortable with my quote-unquote dark side or flawed side instead of only trying to show the parts of that I wanted everyone to see, because the flawed side is also me too, and God sees both the same.
Yep, absolutely. I loved that aspect of the book. Tell me about hurdles that you had to overcome to kind of make all this come to fruition. I assume that was not easy.
Boy, so much introspection. You know, I was just kept having worlds collide. Like, I knew I was smart. And the first time I got kicked out of the program because they said I wasn't authentic. And so I'm like, I'm trying. I don't know what you want me to do, because I was always a people pleaser. Like I said, I had a great family, but I was someone who was born with some medical issues when I was a child. So I was in the hospital a lot. So I really felt bad and guilty that I was in all the time, and my parents would have to come see me, even though that's what parents do. I know that, but I internalized a lot, and I also learned how to cut off or deal with my emotions with pain medicine. And so to not have any of that, and to coming out of addiction, and to just sit with emotions and learn that it's okay if I'm feeling sad. I don't always have to be happy, or it's okay, all my different emotions are okay. That was the biggest hurdle. And so I started that process when I was in prison, even though, you know, I never want to say prison saved me, because it didn't. I saved me. You know, God saved me because I let him, you know, despite being in prison. But I think that really just getting comfortable with all parts of yourself, because that's who God made, is the key.
Well, and I think for me, too, it was as if I was selfishly kind of going through life until I was actually put in that situation where I was one who got in trouble and I was thrown in the hole. And it was like there was nothing in there but a Bible and an AA book, and the AA book never really helped me. So it was almost as if God was saying to me, I've been trying to get your attention for 50 years, Mr. Renick. Now we've got some time to talk. Let's focus on me. So it's like finally everything else was shut off and I was sober, and I really had to come to grips with what I had been putting off. So I think you're right. You did do the work that made it change, but it was the setting that forced that for me, I guess.
Yes, for sure.
I needed that time away, and I was never going to take it on my own.
Right. I mean, could be alternatives to that kind of incarceration, because I still don't feel being in a maximum security prison as a first time offender, I think there could have been other ways that would have been more emotionally supportive for me and for a lot of others as a first time offender. But yes, definitely that long time out was the catalyst for me to go inward and to see God, seek Him for sure. Definitely that.
You also allude to the fact in the book about being approached by your relationship with what you feel and how you told that story. Do you recall that kind of situation?
And which one?
I was talking about how you were approached in prison about Jesus and developing own personal relationship. That's not as easy to do in that setting, because it's not always what is popular. Can you speak to that just a little bit, if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah, well, there was an older lady that would come every Tuesday inside this Rhode Island prison. It was a pretrial. There was like only 20 of us women. And so, you know, I just admired any woman that would come in every Tuesday. I'm like, I've got to know someone like her. At the same time, I was still having trouble, you know, accepting where I was. And so I just wanted to breathe and not cry. And so I went into her classes and just listened. And, you know, she was Catholic. She talked about saints. And I said, yeah, I don't believe in saints. And I thought, I don't want to find Jesus in jail. You hear about that in the movies. I'm like, that's disgusting. Like, that's like, okay, I'm in jail. Jesus, I love you. Like, that sounds bad. And she just patted my arm really lightly. She said, honey, this is where he has your undivided attention. And when she said that, I couldn't, you know, argue with it. I said, well, you're right about that. She was just listen to him and didn't try to get me to believe anything in particular. So that helped me a lot. And I would read Psalms at night, and it just made me feel peaceful. So I, of course, wanted more of what brought me peace.
Yep. I think that was part that I liked was, I've got your undivided attention. It was what came across to me loud and clear. And I have not given that attention before. I've mentioned a couple times now, but I'm in awe of what you do in terms of your marketing and how you put this together. Are there people with you, or is this instinct, or are you following some kind of a plan laid out, or is this all you?
No, I'm not. I just, I used to be so private. Like, everyone say you're the most private person that I've ever met. And so the fact that I share is still kind of mind-blowing to me. But I see and feel shame coming off every time I share. And then I get so much feedback from women, especially, and men too, that are like, wow, you know, thanks for sharing. And they tell me they're all the stuff they're going through, and no one would ever know in a million years. So it's like, I just keep sharing, which is the opposite of what I used to do. And I get so much love. I get so much support. I get so many authentic people interacting with me that I've never even met in person. So it keeps me going. And I'm still in awe. I mean, this morning I was I was in tears all morning, like just in awe of what's happening and awe of what's God doing and how He brought me through. And so I just share my joy. That's really all it is. So I don't follow anyone. I have a couple friends that I met when I got out that were very encouraging. And so if I'm ever feeling like I'm saying too much, or I shouldn't talk too much or share too much, they say, keep going. Yep. Don't stop. And so I just trust them. That's really all.
Well, again, like I said, I'm in awe of the people you partner with. You've got, I led people to believe. I saw you first time in Washington, D.C., our friends at Just Leadership USA. And, but there's all kinds of people around there in terms of supporting you from, you know, I'm looking at University of Oregon and all sorts of stuff. So congratulations on that. Are you linked up with Just Leadership USA in which way?
Yeah. I'm in the current cohort.
Oh, good for you. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. So that means you and I will be forever linked once you complete that.
Great.
Okay. Well, again, like I said, congratulations on all this. It has been delightful to get to talk to you and to get to know you. And I think I can speak from the sense, once you finish this cohort, that you'll find that this network of people is unbelievably powerful, and
right.
You will learn to rely on all those guys across the country. It's really it's a good fraternity of sorts that we all have together.
Yeah,
and
yes,
you'll find it very very powerful people.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, and so like I said, I thank you so much for being on the show. I think we can probably do this again, and expect to call. Our legislative season starts in January in Idaho, and you may be called on to help us with some Ban the Box stuff.
I would love to do that. And then also just one last thing to let everyone know. If you go to my website, which is KristyLashober.com, KristyLashober.com, you can sign up for one weekly email that has all the encouragement, and I do a 33-day challenge, and just to be a part of the community, I would love that.
Yep, and I can attest to the fact that it's always nice to see that come in the email box. And you always look forward. Yeah, that really is. It's positive, and when I see it, I definitely don't put it in the trash. I open it up and read it. So, congratulations.
Nice. Thanks, Mark.
I look forward to being able to work with you more closely in the future.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you.
Okay, bye.
Through Jesus, there's victory. All the chains that were holding me kept me locked in captivity have been broken by grace so free. When he poured out his cleansing blood, motivated by his great love, give me faith I need to rise above and sing a song of how I've overcome. I've got victory over sin, bringing peace to the fight within. Give me strength I need to start again. I've got victory over sin. He gives me victory over sin, bringing peace to the fight within. Give me strength I need to start again. He gives me victory over sin.
Okay, so as you can tell, that's pretty cool. Special lady. I get to run across all sorts of special people in the work that I do, and she is certainly one of those. If you need to reach out and get information about her or about any of the work that we do, it's easy to get in touch with me, www.systemicchangeofid.com. In addition to that, you can send me an email at systemicchangeofidaho. It's all spelled out there at gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Systemic Change of ID. We're on Instagram, Systemic Change of ID. Man, you can even call me on the phone if you want to at area code 208-477-1006. Look forward to talking to you next Saturday afternoon on Victory Over Sin.